I am honored to be able to share with you today. The title of my message today is, I Know Who I Am, and I Know Where I'm Going. You know, we're living in a day of identity crisis. You know that? Yeah. Identity crisis can be defined as a period of uncertainty or confusion in a person's life. According to a CVS Health and Harris Poll survey released recently in September of last year, 63% of 18 to 34-year-old respondents felt that the older they get, the harder it is to know what their purpose in life is. In other words, they're just not finding their way. Some have said that America as a country is in a state of identity crisis. That is, we don't know who we are anymore. We don't know what our values are as a nation anymore, as a whole. We need to know who we are. Amen? And we're going to know who we are as a nation as we know who we are as individuals. Back about 20 years ago, there was a Christian book released by Pastor Rick Warren called The Purpose-Driven Life. It became a top seller in no time across the country. The subtitle was, What on Earth Am I Here For? How many have read it? Okay, a few of you. Okay. The truths in that book are timeless. So if you've never read it and you want to, let us know. We can get you a copy. Jesus is the one, though, that we look to for our example in all things. He's our greatest example, isn't he? And Jesus knew who he was, and he knew where he was going. He had no identity crisis. I'm going to give you a few examples, and we'll put the references up on the screen for you to take note of, okay? In Luke, the first one's in Luke 2, 41 through 52. Okay, that's where Jesus, he was just 12 years old, and his parents, Joseph and Mary, they went up to Jerusalem, as was their custom. They went to the Jewish feast of Passover. And on their way back, they thought Jesus was with their friends. But he had, in fact, lingered behind. And after a full day, Mary and Joseph discover Jesus is not with their friends. And they thought, where on earth is he? So they went out in search for him. And they returned back to Jerusalem. And 3 days later, where did they find him? He was in the temple. He was listening to the teachers and asking questions. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought for you anxiously. And he said to them, Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Jesus told his mama, Did you not know I'd be in my father's house? Right? So even as a young child of 12 years old, Jesus knew who he was. He knew that God was his father. He knew the temple was his father's house. And he knew that he was the Son of God. Another example is found in John 2, 1 through 11. When Jesus went to the wedding feast, and his mama asked him to help out with the wine crisis, right? There was a wine crisis. They were running out of wine. And Jesus said, Well, my time has not come yet. So even then, he had a sense of timing and a sense of purpose, and he knew what he was here for. But Mama pressed him, and he rose to the occasion, and he did his first miracle. He turned the water into wine, which was a big deal in those days. He came to the rescue of the wedding banqueters and saved the host from what would have been an otherwise very embarrassing moment of running out of wine. So Jesus knew who he was. There was no identity crisis there. Another example is found, and you can find lots of examples, but these are a few I pulled out. Okay, Luke 4, 18 through 21. After Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness and prevailed, the scripture tells us that he returned back to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. He began teaching in the synagogues. He went to his hometown of Nazareth, and he stood up in the synagogue, and he began to read from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, and he gave it to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Was Jesus being presumptuous? No. Jesus knew who he was, and he knew his purpose. He knew why he was here. Jesus knew who he was, and he knew where he was going. As Jesus continued his ministry on earth, he was gaining in both popularity with the people and skepticism and even jealousy with the religious Pharisees, to the point of them beginning to plot his capture and his death. The time came for the Jewish Festival of Tabernacles, and that's in John 7, 1 through 34. This was a celebration of remembrance of the time when the Lord provided for the Israelites as they traveled through the wilderness and dwelt in tents. Jesus's brothers urged him to go to this festival. They wanted him to go, and they did it kind of in a mocking kind of way, but they said, you know, you need to go so people can see your miracles. They did it mockingly, because even back then, Jesus' own brothers didn't believe in him. Although later, of course, they came to believe in him. But Jesus said, "No, it's not the right time for me to go." And he urged them, "You go on ahead." But later, after his brothers left, Jesus decided to go, but in secret. About halfway through the festival, he went to the temple and began to teach. And he surprised many with his wisdom. Some of the people began to argue who he is. Some were arguing that they knew who he was and where he came from, and that when the Messiah comes, they said, he'll simply appear and nobody will know where he comes from. And then some of them said, oh, well, he came from Galilee, and that the Messiah has to come from Bethlehem. Of course, he did come from Bethlehem. They just didn't realize it at the time. But then in verse 33 and 34, Jesus told them this, and I quote, "I will be with you only a little longer. Then I will return to the one who sent me. You will search for me, but not find me." I'd like to paraphrase what Jesus said. He said, I know where I come from, and I know where I'm going. Amen? I know where I come from, and I know where I'm going. You see, the skeptics were looking at Jesus, where Jesus lived currently, as where he came from. But Jesus knew that he came from the Father. The Father had sent him. Therefore, he would return back to heaven to be with his Father. Amen. Jesus knew where he came from, and he knew where he was going. I have 3 points for you, okay? Number one, our origin helps define who we are. So many today have no idea who they are, let alone where they're going. Today, there are those poor, confused individuals that have been so confused by our dark society that they even question if they're male or female. I'm here to tell you that unless you were born with both male and female parts, you don't have to guess. You don't have to question your gender. Amen? Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." We do not determine our gender. God determines our gender. Amen? And what is our origin? Where did we come from? We were created by God. Not only that, but we were created in his image. We were created in God's image. That's what the Bible says. Did you know that there are also people out there, both young and old, that are identifying with animals? Yes. They even dress up like furry animals. No, my friends, we were created in the image and likeness of God. Knowing our origin helps define who we are. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." God breathed his very breath in us. That's what distinguishes us from the animals. Can y'all say amen? He breathed inside us. His breath in us made us not only physical beings, but spiritual beings as well. Amen? He breathed his spirit into us. And when he created mankind, he called us very good. Everything else he called good. But mankind is called very good. We are not animals. God, in fact, gave us dominion over the animals. Mike and I just had a great experience that demonstrates this fact, because we just got back from vacation. We went down to Florida, and we went to St. Augustine, which is the oldest city in the nation. And they have, just outside the city, they have a marine land there that allows you to interact with the dolphins. Yes, it's right on the coast, and they have big tanks. They have other animals there too, but they have dolphins, and you can actually have a dolphin encounter there, which we had. And I'll tell you, those dolphins are so well trained. Because why? Man has dominion over the animals, okay? And they are trained to, we go like this, they go like this. You know, it's like they swim by so you can pet them. They, you know, the girl blows the whistle. He stands right up with his fins and we get to touch him. And she blows her whistle again and she tells him this and he goes by. They're amazing. They're very intelligent. And it's just a great example that animals are under our dominion. We can train them, right? So we are made in the image of God. He created us. And when he created us, there was no flaw in us whatsoever. However, he also gave us free choice, didn't he? Yeah. And this is where things went wrong, because mankind used their free will to make bad choices and disobey God's commandments. Okay, Genesis 2:15 through 17 says, "Then the Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" Okay, so let me just highlight for you. First of all, it was not an apple, okay? I've had people come to me and they say, "Why is it we could not eat an apple then, but we can eat them now?" Okay? It's not an apple. I know we depict it that way, like in children's stories and so forth, but it is actually known as the forbidden fruit, okay? It is the forbidden fruit. Okay. Anyway, mankind disobeyed God and ate of this forbidden fruit, and that is how sin entered the earth, right? So the earth was now contaminated, totally contaminated by sin, because man disobeyed God. So we came from God, we were made in the image of God, but that image became corrupted by sin because of the choice that was made. So therefore, mankind became lost, right? Not knowing what they were or where they're going, okay? That's why people say things like, I'm out to find myself, right? Why are you finding yourself? Because you're lost. Hello, right? You're lost. That's why people don't know if they're coming or going, because they're lost, right? Because without Jesus, we are lost. That's the reality of it. Having no sense of identity, having no sense of destiny, right? That's where we are without Jesus. We don't have that sense of destiny. We don't know who we are. But God our Father knew that mankind would get lost. They knew that they'd turn away from him and make bad sin choices. He knew that. He knew that we were going to have to be saved from our own bad decisions. He knew that we would have to be rescued, which brings me to my next point. Where am I going? Right? Where am I going? I ask you, are you heaven bound? You see, without Jesus, we're not heaven bound. Without Jesus, we are all condemned to a life forever separated from God, a life of utter darkness. We will all live forever. The question is, where are we going to live, right? Where are we going to spend eternity? Are we going to be in heaven with God? Or the other place that the Bible describes as a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:49 through 50 says, "So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." See, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. Without sin, we are doomed to utter darkness. The wages of sin is death. That means that's what it pays us back. That was all the sorry state of all of us. But God, right? But God. But God came and saved us. Romans 5:8 says, But God demonstrated his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, he died for us. And John 3:16, say it with me if you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Those verses are saying that Jesus changes our destiny, right? He changes our destiny. He takes us off from that road of destruction, and he puts us on the straight and narrow road. He puts us on the road that leads to life. Hallelujah. Amen. Those who believe in him, that means put their trust in him. Those who give their lives to him. Those who follow him. See, some want to say, Lord, Lord, but they don't follow him. He wants us to follow him, amen? That we should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life in glory with him, amen? We have a hope and a future, people, right? We can't lose sight of that. It's easy to lose sight of that and get our eyes on the things of this world, on our problems and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. Though that's what wants to press in and get our attention. And then we lose our focus on what's important, on our destiny, on where we're going. When we give our lives to Jesus, when we repent of our sins and follow him, then we are heaven bound. Amen? And we know where we're going. We can know. We can know where we're going. 1 John 5:13 says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So I ask you, do you know where you're going? If you were to leave this place today and get hit by a car, do you know where you're going? Right? You can know. Jesus knew who he was, and he knew where he was going. There are some here today that aren't sure where they are headed, okay? Without Jesus, we're all on the wrong track, all of us, all destined to a life separated from God, all in darkness. But he's here today calling us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. Jesus paid the price for our sins. You see, we couldn't pay it ourselves. No matter how much we try, no matter how hard we work to be good, we're not going to be able to pay the price of sin and work our way to heaven. Did you know that? You could work at it all day. You could join 100 good societies. You could give away all your money. And it wouldn't do it. None of it would do it. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of you should boast, right? Salvation is a gift to God, amen? Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love, his own love towards us, and that while we were sinners, he died for us. And Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Do you believe that? Do you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord? Great. If you do, then I'm going to ask you to stand your feet with me. Amen. We're We're going to have a little time of activation here. I'm going to ask Andy to come. He's going to play on the keyboard a little bit. And this is a little time of activation. Now, for those of you who know the Lord, imagine yourself coming closer to the Lord during this time of activation. And let this be a time of rededication for you. Now, everyone, close your eyes. Okay? And it's just you and God. You are standing here before Him. Be still and know that He is God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, but there's a gulf before you. Do you see it? It's the gulf of sin that keeps you from coming close to Him. He's on the other side, but you can't quite get there yourself. All your own efforts fall short. But then Jesus comes, and He dies on the cross, paying the price for your sin. And He rises from the grave, beating sin and death. So now, the cross is laid across that gulf, creating a bridge for you to walk over. Do you see it in your mind's eye? You're now putting all your trust in Jesus. You're putting all your trust in that cross, in that bridge. And you see Him waiting for you on the other side. And you're coming closer and closer to the Lord your God. Father God is waiting for you on the other side, and His arms are open wide. Do you see Him? He's saying, come, my child, come to me. Come closer than you've ever come before. Let nothing stand between us. Those sins you were stumbling on, kick them out of the way and come. He says, come to me. Now see yourself. You're falling into His arms. His arms are open wide. He's been waiting for you. The past is all behind you. Every sin, every mistake is broken off. There are no chains. There is nothing holding you down. Just enjoy His embrace. He's embracing you now. Oh, isn't it good to be home? Isn't it good to be in the Father's arms? It seems like you can breathe deeper now than you could ever breathe before. A sigh of relief. It's so good to be in His arms. Now I'm going to ask you to release your faith. We do that with our confession. So repeat this prayer out loud after me. Lord Jesus, I believe that You died for my sins personally and rose from the dead. I put my faith and trust in You, and I turn away from all my sin to follow You today and forever. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. Come into my life and please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I am yours. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for making me alive, Lord, and heaven bound. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You can open your eyes now. Now turn to your neighbor and say, I am a child of God, and I am heaven bound. I know who I am, and I know where I'm going. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Did you know that when one sinner repents and gives their life to the Lord Jesus, all the angels in heaven rejoice? There is a party going on in heaven right now. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. He is so good. He is so good. All the time, he is good. Okay, I just have another point to make, okay? Knowing where we are going helps us to chart our course. Okay, before Jesus came into our hearts and lives, we were all lost. We didn't know who we were. We didn't know where we're going. But now we have that sense of destiny. We have that sense of belonging, right? We know we're a child of God. We don't have to guess. We belong to him. I'm going to ask you, who are you? Say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Amen. You were made in his image. So now you not only know who you are, but you know where you're going because you're heaven bound. Just like Jesus knew who he was and where he's going. No identity crises. Amen. You're a child of God and you're heaven bound. And knowing that is going to keep you on track, right? Because you know where you're going. Okay? So it helps us in this in-between time of now and then, right? So the Bible is our roadmap of how to get there, right? It helps us stay on track, right? The Bible and fellowship with other Christians is what keeps us on track with God, coming to church, plugging into church, plugging into care groups. We have care groups here that some of them meet in homes. My husband and I have one on Wednesday nights. Free advertisement. Okay, Wednesday nights at our home, okay? And you're all welcome, 7 to 9. Okay, so there are other groups that meet, some in homes, some right here at the church, okay? So get plugged in, right? Because we need each other's encouragement. It gets really dark out there in the world. We need each other because we're all the light. We shine light into each other's lives. Come to Sunday school, right? Read your Bible, right? Put praise and worship music on at home. Boy, does that lift you up, amen? Play it in your car, right? Get your children involved and plugged in here with PCF Kids, right? You were lost, but now you're found. You have a destiny in heaven, and we have a life to live here on earth for Jesus. You've got a story to tell, right? It's called your testimony. So you can use it to lead others to him. Okay, so knowing who you are and where you are going will keep you on track here on earth and give you purpose. We are all here to serve God, all of us, to worship him and to lead others to him. Not only that, but the Bible also tells us that when we give our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are considered in Christ. Positionally, right? So because of that, you are now one with him. His spirit is in us. Now, there are many wonderful truths in the New Testament that tell us who we are in Christ Jesus. They give us a sense of identity of who we are, and it's totally opposite of the world, okay? Wonderful spiritual truths that apply to us since we made our decision to follow Jesus. But I might add, which we can also easily forget, okay? We need to read them over and over. For example, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," see it, in Christ, hear it, "the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here." So when the devil comes telling you, oh, you're no good because of your past sins and mistakes that are now under the blood of Christ, that's condemnation. You can tell him to get, and you can say, no, all I'm a new creation. And all the new, everything's new. The new has come. The old is gone, and the new is here. Amen? If we sin, we're quick to be quick to repent. Quick to ask for forgiveness. Get that under the blood and repent of it. He's faithful and just, the Bible says, to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Another example of who we are in Christ, Galatians 3:26, goes with what I've been telling you. It says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." So that's why you can say, I'm a child of God. It's important to know who we are in Christ Jesus. It's our identity. We need to identify with him, not with other people, certainly not with the animals, okay, but with him. So to help you, I've just made some handouts that you can get on your way out today. Okay, they're located on the welcome desk. I put together a bunch of verses. I use the NIV Bible on who we are in Christ. So you can grab those sheets. They're stapled together in the back. They are very encouraging verses, okay? But you could do a search yourself on your Bible app, and you can find even more of them. I just put in Christ, okay? But you can put in whom, you can put in him, through whom, all these other variations that will give you yet even more verses to look up. And you cannot read these without really getting a sense of identity, of who you are, amen? So we are all in Christ. We all have an identity in him. We all have a hope and a future. Amen? Amen.